Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. With only days before America's midterm elections, everything seems to be breaking in the direction of the Republicans. This would seem to confirm this will truly be a change election and a solid defeat for Joe Biden and the Democrats. The country is deeply divided. Will these elections make things worse? Crosstalking the upcoming midterms, I'm joined by my guest Jennifer Breeden in Milwaukee. She's an attorney. In Cleveland, we have Dennis Kucinich. He is a former presidential candidate and former congressman. And in Las Vegas, we cross to Craig Passe-Jardula. He is an election integrity expert and co-host of AM Wake Up and The Convo Couch. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Dennis, let me go to you in Cleveland. You're an old hand at this. Is not your first rodeo, obviously, here. How do you see this? I mean, you can look at this as a realignment or just a reaction election, or a lot of other people like to call it a change election. How do you read the tea leaves?
I think, you know, if I were to be asked to give some numbers, I think the Republicans will probably end up with 229 seats in the House, the Democrats 206. I think the Senate will also go to the Republicans, could be as much as 52-48. There's been a move towards Republicans in this election, principally because of inflation. The cost of basic food goods and goods is going up, and people are finding that hard to reconcile with the party in power. And of course, crime in the city is another factor. So I think, you know, you're going to see in this election from the federal level to the state and even the county level, a move towards Republicans. It's pretty, it's distinct, and I don't see anything that's going to change that in the next few days.
You know, and Jennifer, again, is this a rejection of the party in power, or is it the appeal of Republican ideas? Because, you know, if you watch cable TV, you can find whatever you want to confirm what you believe, okay? But how do you see it? Is this a confirmation, rejection, a new course? Because, as we're all told, there's a lot at stake. They always say that. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Exactly. I actually think it's both. I think it's both a rejection of the current administration, the current regime, the current policies. It's a rejection and a new wave of voters. I mean, they're even seen in these trends. A lot of people that might have voted Democrat before are now wanting to vote Republican. The numbers, that's why some of the numbers are looking higher than they've thought. I think it's both because the majority of the voters know that there's something going on, and they started to see this kind of populist, as you will, but a populist kind of rising up, more freedoms, more liberties, better gas prices, better food prices. All of those were happening under Donald Trump, who we were told was evil. And so you're seeing this rejection of the mainstream narratives and the narratives that are coming out of our White House. And people are seeing that even those that were not involved before in politics will go to the polls because of their wallets.
Okay, Craig, is Donald Trump on the ballot, or is it Joe Biden, or both on the ballot? How do you look at it? Go ahead.
Well, I think Donald Trump is definitely on the ballot. I think the majority of the conservatives in America are still moved towards the America First Party, which is the Donald Trump party. They still look up to some of the things he was speaking at, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. And I think a lot of those voters, just like Donald Trump, who's kind of come to this consensus that we need to end the war in Ukraine, I think a lot of their voters are moving their way, too. As for Joe Biden, I don't know who really he appeals to at all. I still am shocked that he got 81 million votes. I don't see a Biden bumper sticker or a T-shirt out there and stuff. But I think the correlation that the Democrats are hoping, and that's why they have Obama back out there, is that they'll kind of relate that Biden-Obama magic that was once captured in hope. It really didn't produce anything except a victory. And I think that's what the Democrats are hoping for again.
Yeah, well, you can't transfer charisma, okay? I mean, I didn't like Obama, and I didn't like his policies, but he was charismatic. I mean, you have to give credit where credit is due here. Dennis, can you explain something? I mean, because you've been around a lot in politics. I've never seen a sitting president so vicious towards half the electorate. I mean, I find it really remarkable. You had that kind of like Mussolini speech a few months ago, and then in Washington, I think in the last news cycle, I mean, it's very vicious against against the electorate. I mean, you don't punch down and you don't insult the electorate, but that's exactly what he's doing. Why?
Well, let me say, Peter, that I've known Joe Biden for 50 years, and he's a decent man, but his handlers are hard-nosed partisans, and I think they're encouraging him to take a tack that is unwise and that will create a considerable amount of blowback. I believe it's in the interest of the people to have our president reach out and always try to reconcile the opposites in this country. And, you know, that's not happening. The polarization is increasing. So I don't think that's President Biden's natural approach, but he sure is taking it. And I would say that in a way, there's some symmetry between what's happening domestically and the hard line that's being taken as with the foreign policies of the United States as well.
Okay, well, you know, Jennifer, I mean, Donald Trump was very divisive. I mean, no one denies that, okay? Almost everyone has an opinion on the former president. But there was no slogan like, let's go Brendan. I mean, they didn't have that for Trump, but they do have that for Biden. What does that tell you?
I mean, that the population has rejected this sort of rhetoric. I mean, it's easy to say that Donald Trump was divisive in some sense, but that's only because the media told us to believe that. And yes, I mean, he was upset, but the Republican Party has historically been the party that rolls over back and lets attacks happen. Not only censorship, losing their jobs, losing freedoms, being called actual terrorists, being demonized, being weaponized for political reasons, losing gainful employment. And so I think these kinds of things are what essentially divide. I mean, if it's true in any way that Donald Trump started some sort of chasm within this, Joe Biden has exploded that and made it worse. And I do agree that I don't think Joe Biden is running this dog and pony show. Nobody thinks that because of the people that he's answering to. I mean, everyday Americans, you know, I live here in the Midwest. People know that there's something that's not right here. There's something that doesn't add up. There's a faction. There's a large. The Democratic Party has not come out as a party of you know, social justice. They've come out as a party that bangs on your door and violently throws it in your face until that happens. And that's what the voters are going with. And I think that's the ultimate rejection of what's been going on. Why the American people are going to flock so heavily to these polls.
Yeah, Craig, one of the things, you know, watching, you know, I have to watch MSNBC and CNN because it's part of my job. It's hardship pay, but I still do it. January 6th, an abortion, is that really going to turn the trick here?
No, it's not. And I'm with you, Peter. Being that we deconstruct the media on a regular basis, it's hard sometimes to watch this media. And they're just a completely controlled entity right now. Pure propaganda. We have team sports across the board from this two-party illusion. The funny thing is that with the mainstream media, both MSNBC, CNN, and Fox, is that they're trying their hardest to avoid third parties. And we see some third parties actually getting on the stage. So I still think their media is consistent with their propaganda and their message, and that's to stay into the two-party duopoly. But hopefully we can get some breakthroughs with this independent media out there pushing for these third parties, including the Libertarian Party, that's getting on the stage here and there.
Okay, well, talk about that, Denny. I mean, this duopoly, and I agree with Craig. I mean, I don't identify with the Republican Party at all. Zero. I'm a conservative, okay? That's how I do balls and strikes. If I like a policy, if I don't like a policy, okay? And I think more and more people are politically homeless. But when you look at the media, my God, it is so aggressive. It's either you're with us or against us. And I think that's very unhealthy. Go ahead, Dennis.
Well, the larger problem is polarized thinking that takes place in any culture. And when it happens in a country like America, where there's generally a free exchange of ideas, or we hope there will be, the polarity causes people to stop to differentiate, to discriminate as far as what their position is versus what they're hearing on television. You know, I think we're in a confused time, in a time of chaos. And while there's even order within chaos, the chaos that's happening right now is driving people into this polarity. And I think it's very dangerous. It doesn't serve our country. And because I have found in running for president twice, there is an underlying unity in America, but you have to reach for it. And if you don't reach for it and you just figure you're going to win by dividing and conquering, I don't appreciate nor participate in that approach.
Yeah, you know, Jennifer, I mean, going back to Biden's rhetoric and conservatives of basically terrorists, putting them on the level of al-Qaeda, that will only make conservative people go out and vote more because you're insulting them. Okay, you're really insulting them, and you're telling you're a victim of wrong, you're wrong think. Okay, I can't. Joe Biden energizes the conservative base, Jennifer.
He does, you know, and I appreciate what's been said here because I think there is an underlying air of unity for many people in America. I know that, and again, I'm not, you know, I haven't been a pollster for ever or any time, so I don't follow these trends historically. But one thing that I am seeing right now is that, yes, we know that right now it's a Republican versus Democrat election coming up. But I think the reason that the Republican numbers are winning is not because people want to join and get involved with the GOP or the Republicans or whatever, and that we've seen that there's some people switching parties because of that. But it's because we need change in office and we need that unity and we're desperately craving for it. This election is becoming about ideals. It's not just conservatives that are angry about the rhetoric, angry about being called terrorists. I mean, you can say all day long that Donald Trump was maybe divisive in some ways, but he never jailed the media. He never led a raid on the media or on his political opponents. He was never in office when any of this happened. And he certainly never called most of the Democratic Party or most of the Democratic voters a terrorist organization or domestic terrorists. He never likened them to this. In fact, under Donald Trump, it was some of the lowest
hold that thought. We got to go to a hard break. And after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on the upcoming American midterm election. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing the upcoming American midterm elections. Okay, let's go back to our guests in Las Vegas. Craig, you know, if you watch Fox News, they're chilling the champagne bottles. That's pretty sure you watch primetime there. But, you know, I think that we have to go into the minutiae here because look at the new Republican candidates, people we've never come across before, doing very well in the polls against incumbents that have been around for forever. Okay, Carrie Lake is one that comes to mind. I mean, what a firebrand. Wow, okay. There's a new breed of Republican candidates here, and Mitch McConnell does not like these people here. So as they're chilling the bottles at Fox, the civil war in the Republican Party has only just begun. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, they don't. These establishment Republicans don't like these grassroots people at all. Kevin McCarthy and the way he's treated some of those grassroots people like Laura Loomer and all those other America First candidates just whisk aside. But, you know, I think the underlying issue here is the fact that a lot of people still remember why they became a Democrat in the first place. And this is just another seesaw pendulum swing, and they don't want to get fooled again. They remember the Help America Vote Act and the Patriot Act and the Iraq War, all under a Republican president. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I still think people are going to be seeking some other options. I do agree with my other guest here. This is some scary times. It doesn't seem like anybody wants to unite, let alone Joe Biden with that Mussolini speech we talked about. It seems to be more divisive, but I guess that's the game that's going out there right now. So with 2/3 of the voters in America have zero to little confidence in these elections, I think it's going to produce a little bit different results than just simply Republican and Democrat this election time.
Yeah, Dennis, what makes it really a scary time is that you have this lessening faith in the democratic process and the electoral process. I mean, with the left wing always talking about election denial and all of this. I mean, the biggest mistake coming out of 2020 was to just shove aside the concerns that some people had. You know, was there fraud? Well, it was never really investigated, okay? Maybe everything was hunky-dory. Maybe it wasn't. But I mean, just brushing that aside is really insulting to a lot of people that did maybe had legitimate concerns. I'm not going to say they were legitimate or illegitimate, but just brushing it aside worries a lot of people about the, particularly if there's so much mailing going on. What are your thoughts on that? Because you've been through a lot of campaigns. Go ahead, Dennis.
I have been through more campaigns than most people would believe, but I'll tell you this. It is not unusual to see the kind of games that are played in American elections at all levels, and voters have a right to be concerned that their votes are counted, that they count, that there's no interference in the election process. But it is a fact of life here in America that such interference does happen, whether it's to the benefit of the Democrats or the Republicans. And in the election integrity ought to be an issue. Now, you know, the paradox in America is when you don't like someone and they happen to get elected, how do you close ranks behind whoever the president is? And this is something that Al Gore showed the nation the direction in 2000 when he lost in the Supreme Court and George W. Bush became president. Gore could have raised unholy hell and created a situation where there would have been a destabilization in the government, but he chose to take a different path. And that path of trying to seek for cohesion and unity is a very important thing in America. So whether a Democrat is elected or a Republican is elected or in the future some other party, we have to realize that while we take a stand for election integrity and we have to do that while the election's in process and while the votes are being counted, When somebody is declared the winner, whether we like it or not, we have to find a way to move forward as a nation. We're having trouble with that right now, though.
Yeah, and Jennifer, well, another thing that we're having trouble with, and I look at both sides of the equation of this, it's very dangerous when your politics gets down to a purity test, okay? And I think that's very dangerous because it doesn't allow nuances and slight differences of opinion, and it cuts down on a big tent, okay? This purity test that I see so much in the media really terrifies me because no one is pure, okay? Jennifer, go ahead.
Well, exactly. And that's the worst part. I mean, the complete infringement upon freedom of speech, but of conscience, of thought, of diversion of opinions. I mean, that's what I think the people are seeing. The truth is these midterm elections really are a call to unleash the voters against the establishment. And that's in both parties.
Yep.
Yes, the vast majority of anti-establishment and America First candidates are running as Republicans. That's the way our system works right now, especially throughout the different states. So the vast majority of these anti-establishment America First candidates are Republican. They're running as Republicans. That's why there's going to be a Republican wave. But this is a show of the fact that the American people are done with the establishment. When it comes to election integrity, there are many people I know that are concerned about that. Voters are concerned, even voters that were Americans that were afraid to come out with this, with their opinions about the 2020 election, are now seeing that, wait, this doesn't make sense. We're looking at numbers. How could this happen? Joe Biden got over 10 million more votes than Barack Obama at his prime, at his peak. I mean, that doesn't make much sense as to what's going on. And I think it's unfair to compare the Al Gore and Bush situation to what happened in 2020, because in Bush v. Gore, I mean, we're talking about the constitutional interpretation of one state law, wherein certification was still being questioned, and the Supreme Court of the United States states ruled on that. So it went through the legal process. Here you had people watching a very, very normal flow of an election in their states, in several states. And then at 3 a.m., suddenly 150,000 ballots are dropped, 99% of which are for Joe Biden. People had questions. I think those questions are legitimate and should be asked, especially since for 4 years, half of America kept shouting and screaming that Hillary Clinton was the rightful president. And so I think it's unfair, this two-tiered system of justice, this two-tiered system of who is allowed to say what and what you're allowed to say. That's not America. That's not who we are. And that's why these elections are important.
You know, Craig, you know, again, you know, it, we've all been looking at the polls, and I'll even go further. I mean, considering the dismal polling that we've had over the last few years, every time I see a poll, I give the Republican 3 more points. OK, I think that's fair to do, considering how bad they've been over the years here. But let's say that they get the victory that it's possible that the polls are saying. Is the country going to be any less divided?
That answer is no. You know what I'm saying? I just want to push back on the fact that the Democrats have anything anti-establishment in their party, first of all. The grassroots of the Democrats have now joined hands, walking lockstep with the establishment Democrats. In fact, the Our Revolution organization that was started to fund and promote grassroots candidates to fight against establishment is now endorsing all establishments. But at the end of the day, too, as well, when it does come to this election cycle, if we do get these Republicans in here, a lot of the grassroots Republicans were already whisked away in their primaries, and they thought that process was unfair. And with a system that is even worse than it was in 2020, in other words, a lot of the laws they implemented for these elections that were already a wonky system, like drop boxes and mass mail-ins, they're implemented. So at the end of the day, I think we're going to see a country even more divided, whether or not more Republicans get in or not. So,
well, Denise, address that, because, you know, sure, this could be a change election, but what will change? I mean, I'm very cynical because, you know, the Republicans can win elections, but it always is the left that determines the agenda. That's the pattern that I see here. Even when Donald Trump was president, even when they had majorities in both houses, it was still a very much a democratically driven agenda. Denise, what does it mean for victory for the Republicans here? What is the agenda? Because we see what people are rejecting, but what are they embracing? Go ahead, Dennis.
Again, you know, where I started this discussion was on the practical aspirations of American people today relate to economics and security, their own families, personal security. And when you see the cost of bread going through the roof, meat and other staples of the American diet, people are very concerned about that, and they're going to respond at the ballot box. Crime in our cities has grown substantially, and really violent crime. Americans will respond to that at the ballot box. But I just want to say that I don't think that the American people are especially ideological, and will people within both parties push ideologies? Mm-hmm. Well, you might do that at election, but when you govern, you must govern pragmatically. And anytime you see governance be propelled by ideology without connecting to people's practical aspirations, you're going to see a disaster.
I think that's probably the best explanation I have heard in a very long time, because not everyone is ideological. People in the media certainly are very ideological, and they want everyone else to think like they do. All right. You know, I have done 40 programs over the last 9 months on Ukraine. This is my first break. OK, so, Jennifer, is Ukraine on the ballot this year?
I think it's one of many things on the ballot. And to be clear, there's a distinction between the DNC political pundits and American citizens who have voted Democrat. Those are the ones that are voting anti-establishment. I think many will be voting Republican this year. Of course, Ukraine is one of the many issues on the ballot, but it is because, yes, it was big for a while here. And I'm talking about, again, I'm speaking from, you know, the Midwest. I know one of my other colleagues here is also in the Midwest, but especially in Wisconsin and some other places. I know I have friends all over the country where, oh, this was a big issue, and now we're kind of over it. We're not seeing it as much. And then we started to get angry because every other day we're seeing one more $1 billion here, $1 billion, $100 billion, $50 billion.
All right, Jenner, let me ask my other guests. What do you think, Dennis? Is it on the ballot? Real quickly, and I want to go to Craig.
Not per se, except that people are becoming increasingly concerned about where our country is taking us in terms of nuclear policies. And that's something I personally am concerned about. I think that America and the other nations have to just swear off any first strike policy. And it's particularly a concern of mine in my
own country. Let me ask Craig here. Is it on the ballot?
No, it's foreign policy in both parties, and most Americans, unfortunately, have foreign policy down the rabbit hole, and it's not an issue that's right in their face.
All right, I have a proposition before we end the program. Let's reconvene in a week's time, and we could do a postmortem. Give it a thought. My producer will contact you. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Milwaukee, Cleveland, and in Las Vegas. I want to thank my viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.